the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 12 through verse 27. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel!" Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We all know what Palm Sunday was, right? Palm Sunday was a Sunday long ago when Jesus of Nazareth came into the city of Jerusalem. People were coming to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. There were crowds of people greeting Jesus, and there were crowds of people following Jesus. The crowd followed him, it says, verse 18, because Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Now, if we had a video recording of this event, that'd be really great, wouldn't it? And yet, simply watching Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, even with all the sound on, we wouldn't get much out of it. Obviously, the crowds consider Jesus important enough to greet and welcome to the city, but why? Why are there crowds present, welcoming, and following Jesus? And that, my friends, is a key question. Why are there crowds around Jesus? And they are shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Wow, that's powerful. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Well, that could be most anyone, right? But the crowd said, "Blessed is the King of Israel." Oops, Judah already had a king, King Herod. Oh, and they already had a governor, a Roman governor. Anyone say, awkward? Does Jesus have the official seal of approval from the Roman governor? No, he does not. So this is more than a little awkward. There's a real problem here. But let's notice that the problem is not with God. Jesus is doing what God wants. Jesus knew he was going to ride into the city on a donkey. Jesus planned that much. Jesus may or may not have planned on the crowds. It was pretty natural, though. Yes, Jesus was a miracle worker. Jesus just finished raising up a local dead man to life. Lazarus was his name. So word had gotten out, and people, the crowds, have come to some conclusions about Jesus. The crowds decided that this man, Jesus, well, he could be king. There was talk about a Messiah, a Savior. If Jesus could raise the dead, Jesus would be unconquerable. He'd be invincible, an unconquerable deliverer. Some of these people in the crowd had family stories of living under Jewish leadership without the Romans back in the day. It happened years before, and they wanted so to have it happen again. Wasn't the Messiah going to be the king and rule the people wisely and fairly and justly? Wasn't the Messiah going to lead the people out of Roman control? Well, that seems to be what the people thought. Blessed is the king of Israel. But there was the problem. The problem was with the crowd's thinking. What the people were thinking did not line up with God's plan. Yes, Jesus was a king, but Jesus was not that kind of king. Jesus would tell Pilate at Jesus' trial, "My kingdom is not of this world. Now my kingdom is from another place." John chapter 18. Jesus would even say to Pilate, the Roman governor, who, as you might guess, needs to know if Jesus intends to be king, since Pilate is the real authority in Judea. But Jesus told Pilate, "If my kingdom was of this world, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest." And the crowds were all there on that Sunday, but by Friday of that week, there wasn't anyone when Jesus was arrested. Not even Jesus' disciples were around anymore. You see, Jesus didn't have legions of armies, but Jesus had legions of angels. Jesus was going to give people life, but not so they could beat up the Romans. Jesus was going to lead the people, but Jesus was not going to lead a rebellion. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me." Friends, remember, Jesus led a secret life. Jesus knew where he was from, Jesus knew what he was doing, and Jesus knew where he was going. No one else knew all that but Jesus. A few people along the way figured out quite a bit about Jesus. However, even though Jesus told them what was going to happen in Jerusalem, no one apparently believed Jesus. They just didn't want to hear it. They were in denial. They thought they saw their own vision of Jesus coming true. They refused to see what was really happening, and they didn't listen to Jesus' own words. We know that Peter heard Jesus' words, and Peter rejected those words. Jesus had told Peter, "The Son of Man must be handed over to evil men." And Peter said, "No." And as we shall see in this week, as we look at the events of this week, in worship services, Thursday and Friday, and then again on Sunday, the plan that Jesus was following was not really Jesus' plan, but rather the Heavenly Father's plan. And God's plan was bigger than anyone on earth could see. God had a plan for the whole creation. God had a plan for the whole creation, and as we shall see, not only a plan for all of creation, but a plan that would reach into the past and into the future. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, Jesus was giving people a vision of that future. People thought that what they saw was the beginning of their vision of the future. Their vision of the future was not spiritual. Oh, don't get me wrong, their vision of the future to them looked pretty grand. They thought Jesus would be in charge. They thought the Romans would be expelled from their country. They thought that since Israel had gotten rid of foreign rulers before, they could do it again, and Jesus would lead them. Jesus was going to fix things. Even though Jesus had told them, the kingdom was in their midst. Many people were still ready to fight to bring the kingdom to reality, and Jesus had said, "It's already here. It's already started." Friends, there is a great lesson in this for us. The promises of God are not for us to get what we want. The promises of God are not for us to get what we want. The promises of God are for God to get what God wants. The promises of God are for God to get what God wants. The real surprise is that God wants for you something greater, something more wonderful, something more fantastic than you could possibly imagine. Our God is an awesome God. God gives gifts we don't even know how to ask for. God gives gifts that haven't even entered our minds yet. Think of any Christmas list you have ever composed. Did it ever include, "I want to be able to love others more. I want to be more effective in demonstrating God's love to others. I want to be able to share with other people the great love that I know God has for me and for them." Friends, have those things ever been on any of your Christmas lists? Well, you don't have to tell me. But friends, I am sure those things are always on God's Christmas list for you. God gave His only begotten Son out of love for you. And our God wants you to be able to love others more. And our God wants you to be more effective in demonstrating God's love to others. And our Lord wants you to be able to share with other people the great love that God has for you and for others. And Jesus tells us how this will have to happen in order for us to get those promises that the Lord has made to us. And the answer is sacrifice. First, the sacrifice of Jesus. And then we who follow Jesus lose the lives we thought we wanted so we can live the most wonderful lives possible. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me." Sacrifice. First, the sacrifice of Jesus. And then we who follow Jesus lose the lives we thought we wanted, so we can live the most wonderful lives possible. Jesus led a secret life. But Jesus' secret is now out. Jesus would be the servant Messiah. Jesus would be the suffering Messiah. Jesus would give His life that we could really live. When Jesus told Peter the plan about what would happen in Jerusalem, Peter said no. Peter didn't like that plan. Peter would later deny Jesus, and Peter would deny he was ever a part of any of Jesus' plans. But after Jesus' death and resurrection, Peter understood. And not only that, just because Peter denied the plan, denied he was a part of the plan, did not keep Peter out of Jesus' plan for Peter. After Jesus' death and resurrection, Peter understood. Peter gets it now. The disciples get it now. Peter will proclaim that same plan he once denied. Peter will preach the same plan he once said no to. Peter put it this way in one of his letters, 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Peter gets it. The disciples get it now. The question is, friends, do you get it? This is God's plan. God's plan is Jesus Christ crucified. Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected means that you and I get new lives. We get to live new lives that continue forever. And these new lives we lead are better than any life we ever planned for ourselves. Because the life God has planned for us is better, way better, way better than our own plans. The plan of God, it was and is in the Word of God. It included the Christ, the Messiah, and it included his death and then his resurrection. And we talk about the resurrection more next week at Easter. Amen.